Dear Father, thank you that thou dost know each one of us intimately. And therefore we have confidence to ask thee to speak to each one of our hearts. Lord, help our ears to be open to hear thy voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Now our theme for this week is Taken Up by the Potter. Taken Up by the Potter. And tonight we are going to talk about just a lump of clay. Nothing more. Just a lump of clay. Now who hasn't played, is there anybody here in this room that hasn't played with clay in their life before? Well, we did it today, so nobody can say no. I love making objects with clay. I'm not as good as you people. I saw some beautiful objects made. But I loved since childhood to roll clay in my hands and to make it into a slightly recognizable object. It's just wonderful. But imagine you see a lump on the table, like on the kitchen table, and you point to it and you say, it's just a lump of clay on the table. But the next day, like tomorrow, when we saw all the beautifully hardened things, you look at something and it's a figurine. It can be a Dresden figurine. Yesterday it was just a lump of clay. And you suddenly look at it and you say, oh, how beautiful. And suddenly your mind, there's no thought to connect it with a lump of clay. When you see the Dresden figurine, like my mom's got, you look at it and you can't think of it as this formable, simple lump of clay. God calls us clay. And in his eyes, we are just a lump of clay. But not just a lump of clay, but a lump of clay that he wants to transform. He wants to cleanse. And he wants to make into something beautiful. Just like that Dresden figurine or Royal Doulton figurine is so beautiful. That is what God wants to make with each one of us. He looks at us. He sees us as a lump of clay. But a lump of clay that he wants to change and to form into something beautiful inside out. Why do I say we are clay? Isaiah 64 verse 8 says, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and we are all, and thou art potter, and we are all the work of thy hands. We are clay, and he is a potter. Just as a potter takes the clay and forms it, and turns it, and pounds it, and puts it on the wheel, and twists it on the wheel, and shapes it. So God wants to shape us to be what he always wanted us to be. What he intended us to be. Before the foundation of the world, God had a plan for you and for me. Every single one of us. God's eyes on each one of us with tender compassion and love. He sees the mire and the dirt. You know, the clay we worked with today was purified. It was cleaned clay. But when I was a child, when we took clay out of the mountain, it was full of dirt. It was full of dirt. And it first had to be cleansed, all the dirty bits taken out. So God looks at us and he sees all the mire and dirt that is part of our human clay. He sees the bulging sticks of jealousy, that horrid black spot of stealing. He sees it all. It's like the x-ray machine. Every airport I came across, I was stopped and x-rayed. You know, then you have to stand like this. And then the x-ray thing goes right round. And you know, have you ever looked at what they see? Everything, your skeleton, everything is there. And if I'd hidden a little packet of nuts, it would have been there for them to see. No nut would have been hidden from him. And so in the same way, when God looks at us as clay, he sees every little sinful thing that we've done, every thought that is wrong. He sees it all. But he still looks at us with love. And he says to us, I want to take you into my hands. I want to change you. I want to form you. I want to make you beautiful. Will you allow me to take you up? I want to cleanse you with my precious blood. I want to transform you. I want to use you. God doesn't only want to cleanse us and change us. He actually wants to use us. So our title is Just a Lump of Clay. But just a lump of clay that God wants to make beautiful. Amidst the teeming multitudes, I saw a lump of clay, an ugly lump, not very clean, as motionless it lay. Can that mere lump be changed, transformed into a sublime thing? It seems its very dirtiness would ever to it cling. But then the potter stepped inside and saw that lump of clay. With eager cry, he took it up. I'll make it mine today. The clay within his skillful hands was washed and purified. His precious blood removed the dross. No whit would he let he abide. With tender care and patient love, he worked upon the clay to gently form and fashion it more beautiful each day. His very face began to shine from the clay's merging form as steadily he worked on it, that precious soul reborn. No more an ugly, dirty lump, a vessel filled with grace to radiate God's light and love in its appointed place. The Bible refers to nations as clay and to individuals as clay. Now, to me, it's a very exciting thing because clay is formable. You know, when I fell recently, I hit a ceramic floor. It has no give. So my head hit it full back. But clay, it gives. It's able to be formed. It's able to be changed. And so, sometimes we look at ourselves and we say, I am unchangeable. I just will not be able to be changed even by God. But that is not so. God speaks of us as clay, and because we are clay, He knows that we can be changed and transformed into something beautiful by Him. But now, O Lord, Thou art our potter, we are the clay, and Thou our potter, and we are all the work of Thy hands. Now, human beings are clay in two senses. There's the physical part and there's the spiritual part. Now, the physical part has nothing to do with a personal decision. I didn't decide that somebody, that the world needed somebody like me. And therefore I said, I have to come into being and I need to be born. It wasn't my decision that I was born. I couldn't demand to be here. My birth and your birth is a miracle. Life is a gift. When we were born, we couldn't decide on the color of our hair. Did you decide before you were born and said, I wanted green eyes and I wanted blue eyes, brown eyes, and this type of hair, this is how tall I wanted to be before I was born? No. We developed in the womb. All our attributes were hidden in our DNA. We are living miracles, each one of us, silently testifying, whether we like it or not, of a marvelous, creative, all-powerful God who made us so wonderfully. Even if we think we came from a mother and father, we did come from a mother and father, but we were made by God's permissive power. We may say, I was born by accident. I was unwanted. I'm not even wanted now. But that does not take away the fact that we are prized as a lump of clay whom God wants to claim as His own, to fulfill His purpose through. We are precious to God, even if we think we're not precious to others. I'm going to keep to our title today of the human clay marvelously created by God. And I want to think of His genius in how He decided what we needed. Think of us. Look at our fingers that can grip. Think of all our fingers can do, the nails. Think of our legs, think of our mind, think of our eyes, think of how intricate the eye is. Don't you think God was wonderful to make us and to create us as the potter in physically, as wonderful as each one of us are? Each part of us is a miracle. Think of a mouth to speak. How marvelous is every part of me. I stand in awe and wonderment that God, so good to me, each hair upon my head is known. To Him He knows the sum. Even though it is a scanty crop, I thank Him for each one. I'm glad for hands to hold to work, for feet to walk and run, for eyes that see beauty each day until the setting sun. a mind to ponder on his word, a mouth to laugh and sing, an ear to hear the bird's sweet song, alert to everything. I will not moan, sadly deplore my features or my form, but rather thank God that I too arrived, was safely born. Now, sometimes babies are born with physical handicaps. There are some that are born with eyes that can't see or ears that can't hear. But again, that isn't a personal decision in the womb that brought you to pass. We'll only understand in heaven why God allowed those things. But we, each one of us, cannot complain. We can only be grateful to God for all we have. Each part of us is a miracle of his creation. Even if you think of that small little dot, the beginning. 9 months, arms, legs, organs, ears, eyes, mouth, brain. A baby looks like a little tadpole in the beginning. It's too sweet if you see the scans. And then to think out of it comes the arms and out of it comes the legs. It is just, and so we take so much for granted. We just think, and we moan about how God made us. But we must realize the miracle of the great potter who formed us physically. Now, there's excitement each time when the first cry is heard and you know the baby is born, this perfect baby, and you know the baby is alive. Now, I remember when Roy was born. Now, Roy is over 6 foot, and it's very difficult to imagine him as a baby. But I remember in the government hospital, in the room, cry after cry after cry, baby after baby was born, and Roy decided to take his time. And then when he was born, he was blue from lack of oxygen, and then he decided he wouldn't cry for a long time. So my nerves nearly gave in. But it's just a miracle. There's this baby with his enormous feet. But he's everything is there. You know, it's just such a miracle. But now in January, we had an even more exciting experience and scary experience because we had a baby born in our house. Now, it wasn't my baby because I'm too old for that. But it was the third baby of Roy and Jerusalem. Now, if I'm honest with you, I must admit that Keith and I were not very keen on the whole idea of the baby being born in our house. I did not tell Keith till almost the last minute that the baby was going to be born in our house because he nearly had a heart attack, you know. I said, Jennifer, how can we allow that? It's just too scary. You know, something might go wrong. Without his specialist machines, equipment, you know, to have a baby on the spot. And we knew things could go wrong because our last baby was emergency Caesar. But he seemed so daring, a midwife, a mother-to-be, and an unborn child about to emerge in the world, handling the situation alone. Anyway, it's nerve-wracking. You have to wait for the contractions to start, and they did, you know, let alone the birth, and the contractions did start, and then I had these visions of Jerusalem having the baby in the car, or in the shopping center, or at the botanical gardens, and I kept asking her, how fast are the contractions? And she was just calm, absolutely calm, you know, as if nothing, no, it's fine, you know, I'm just used to it, and I think, oh, anyway. But now fate did step in. I was dropping somebody off at the airport, and Roy phones me and he says, Jenny, not Jenny, Mom. he said, Mom, rush. The baby's on the way. The midwife's here already. And so now it's absolutely bumper-to-bumper traffic. And I was trying to weave in the car. My foot slid under the pedal. I nearly crashed. I was so far from the car in front of me. I arrived at the house and I jumped out, ran in. And Roy says, please take over Glenn and Ruth because they were quite close. So I took them upstairs and now waited. But now the joke of it all was, he said, Jennifer, on no account will I be in the house when that baby is born. He said, my nurse will not handle it. So I go into the house and I go past the office and there's Keith. I said, what's going on? He said, the battery of the car wouldn't start. He's sitting grey with a Bible in front of him, absolutely despairing. So I said, well, you can go now. So he said, no, now that it started, well, how can I go? I mean, it just doesn't seem right. Anyway, so now I had the kids upstairs and we were watching Winnie the Pooh and Postman Pat. And then I'd run along the passage and Keith would say, anything? I said, no. And then I'd run to the top of the passage. Keith just stuck in his room. And I said, Roy, anything yet? No, Mom, just stay upstairs. Anyway, so eventually I run and I hear, there's a cry. I actually imagined a cry before the cry, but then there was a cry. So I said, boy or girl? He said, Roy said, how can you ask that the baby's busy being born? But anyway, but anyway, it was a girl. And you know, the absolute miracle when he came in a towel and he came up soon afterwards and he handed the baby to me. And I looked at this baby. It was such a miracle. You know, it was such a miracle to see this little perfectly formed child. What a wonderful creator we serve. What a wonderful potter that wants to take us up. He who made us physically and who made us so beautiful. Isn't it wonderful that we look to him? We look to him to take us up into his hands. Now, I must have gone very fast. Now, the one thing we mustn't do is that we mustn't argue with God about the way we are made. I remember when I was young, I looked at my sister. Now, my one sister had thick, curly, blonde hair. And the other sister had thick, dark, straight, richly, you know, she had plaits that were so thick. And I had my hair, which I got from my dad. And I said, well, why couldn't I just have had half her plait and a bit of the curls of the other sister? You know, and I went through a stage where I was unsatisfied and I said, it isn't right. And then I suddenly realized, how can I argue with how God made me? And why am I not grateful for the way God made me? Now, God speaks about that. You know, it's possible that we can look at ourselves and wish we were different, but God doesn't like that. In Isaiah 45 verse 9, it says, shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou? We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are miracles on two feet. Every part of us is uniquely beautiful in God's eyes. We mustn't want to be different. If God made us short, be grateful you're short. If God made you tall, well, you can reach things high up. So just be thankful for the way God made us. And you know what? I'm not saying you mustn't try and improve yourself. Exercise, healthy food, cleanliness, the prettiest clothes you can afford to adorn the gospel if you're in the potter's hands, that is good. But don't be unsatisfied and ungrateful to God for the way he made you. He knows what he is doing. He knows what he's doing. Don't look next door and say, oh, why did she get everything and I get nothing? You'll be surprised if you think about it how much God did give you. Grateful for every part. You are uniquely beautiful in God's sight. You are uniquely precious in God's sight, just as you are. Thank you for my hair, dear Lord. I shall murmur no more. I'm thankful for each wispy bit or tresses by the score. Quite often in the hospital, we come across a child who has no hair through treatment, and yet that child has smiled. That smile is like a messenger that says, how can it be that you should moan and murmur while God so sparest thee? O Lord, I shall not murmur, or any part of me, though I be short or lanky, forever grateful be. Now, the way God, the Heavenly Potter, formed us physically is a miracle. But there's another miracle in store for each one of us. The Potter wants to form us spiritually. From inside out, just as a baby is formed in the womb of the mother, God wants to form you spiritually for a very special purpose that he has for each one of us. He comes seeking us out and he says, let me take you up into my hands. Let me make you mine. Why do I say he comes seeking us out? Well, he says in Luke 19 verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. He came seeking the clay out. The word lost is because each one of us is on our way to hell and eternal damnation until the Heavenly Potter takes us into his loving hands. Just as clay that is useless is thrown into the furnace and becomes ashes, so we as useless vessels, as clay full of mire, will be thrown into the furnace of hell, unless that we allow the potter to take us up into his hands. Revelation 20 verse 10 says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see, when a pottery thing gets formed, what does the potter do underneath? He turns it down and he carves his name upon it. And when the potter takes us into his hands, the clay, and forms it, his signature is upon it. That assurance that we belong to him. When he takes us up, we know our names are in the book of life. We know we will not be thrown into the lake of fire, which is hell. Maybe we say we don't need the potter to take us up. We'll get to heaven our own way. There was a little boy that said, they said, you can't get to heaven because of your mire, your sin. It's like a wall between you and God. He says, well, I'll take a big hammer and I'll bash that wall down. He said, I can get into heaven my way. And we don't say it that way, but some of us think by our own goodness, we will clean ourselves up. There was a little girl whose granny was very, very, very fond of her. And this granny thought this little girl was too good to be true. And every week this little girl got a special little miniature loaf of bread that was baked by this granny for her. And this granny looked at this little girl, and the father of this little girl was standing next to the granny, and the granny said to the father, don't tell me that little girl needs to be saved. She's straight on her way to heaven. But that little girl knew very well that she was not on her way to heaven. There's lots, lots, lots that had to be dealt with, and that she needed to get saved and allow the potter to take her up into his own hands, which she did at the age of about 7. A baby will go straight to heaven. David said, when his little son died, I go to him. He will not return to me. But as soon as we are conscious of right and wrong, we will be answerable to the potter. If we do not heed his call, we must say yes and allow him to take us up, to clean us, to cleanse us. If we are trying to patch ourselves up, we will never, never, never be acceptable to him. Now it reminds me, my mom loved bone china, and she used to collect from antique shops any cheap little set she could get, and she gave me this beautiful set. But there was one cup in the set that's ear was off. So I went to somebody and said, could you tell me how I can fix it? I want the set to be perfect. And this person said, put this glue on and it will hold. So I put the glue on and that little cup looked perfect. Absolutely perfect. You couldn't tell which one was the glued one. Well, one of Keith's Glenvard Day, Bible College Day students came to visit him, and he was a tall, over 6 foot fellow, and nobody comes to our house without being offered tea within about 1.5 minutes. So I said, do you want some tea? And I brought the tray of tea in with the cups and everything, and I poured it from the teapot, and guess which cup he got? He got the cup with the ear. Anyway, so there he's sitting. He's got big fingers. You know, he's very thick. And he's sitting like this, and he's battling to hold this little dainty ear. I mean, why I took that set, I don't know. And as he's holding it, I'm looking at him, and we're talking nice, and suddenly they just shoot, and the hot, not your American tea, hot, boiling tea fell right into his lap. And he was so shy, he said, but he must have been in absolute agony, because that tea was boiling. How remorseful I was. Why did I not acknowledge that the cup was broken? It was not fit to be used. And before me was the painful truth. It was suffering, because I tried to patch it up. You know, we try and patch up our lives and make ourselves acceptable to God, we will not be the only ones that suffer. Others will suffer by it if we determinately reject the potter and try to do our own job. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I needed a new cup. I didn't need to fix my cup. I needed a replacement cup. That's what the potter does. Not by works of righteousness that we have done. Not by patching up our own lives, in other words, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? The potter has to take us up. When he takes us up, he cleanses the sin away, all that wrong that we've done, with his precious blood, and he makes us into a totally new vessel. Just as the cup with the hot water broke with the tea in it, so we break apart under the searching gaze of a holy God when we stand before God one day. All our efforts to please God will fall to the ground, because only God can cleanse the clay. Only God can form the clay from new, from beginning. He won't put an ear on the cup. He'll ground it up and he'll make a new cup all over again to please him. We have to lie in his hand, overseen by him on the wheel of life. If we endeavor to patch our own lives, we will end up in hell. And not only in hell, but we will drag others there with us. We dare not reject the potter's call. God spoke of the nation of Israel as clay in his hands, and he begged them to put themselves into his hand, to remake them. He referred to them as clay that was marred in the hand of the potter. But he says, I've got a plan for you. I can take you, even though you're so filthy, even though you're so full of dirt, even though you're so broken, even though you're so misshaped. I can take you into my hands, and I'll make you all over again, absolutely new, a new vessel that is fit for me and fit for heaven. Why did he call them a marred vessel? They were disobedient to God, and therefore they were ugly lumps of clay. They were disfigured. They were stained with the soil of mingling with others and dipping in the mire of the nations around them. You know what that reminds me of? We mingle with the unsaved and friends at school, different things, and we don't realize it, but the things they do, we end up doing, and we get worse and worse and worse, and we get contaminated, not only with the sins that we have in our lives, but worse and worse sins. They worshipped idols and gods of wood and stone, and they did dreadful things with these idols. They used to take their living children and offer them to the idols and burn them to death, and while they burnt, they would hit the drums to drown the noise of the children's screams. That's how wicked they were. But speaking of idols, reminds me of when Keith and I were in New Zealand, and we were on the North Island, and we at the top of the North Island, there's a special museum where he talks about the people that were originally in New Zealand, and they have these figures of the idols, but it is the most hideous looking idols, and it is the most immoral looking idols. It's just absolutely terrible. And Keith and I looked at it, and I thought to myself, how can they have worshipped such horrible things? You can't believe how horrible. I was actually, the people sent us into the museum, but I was actually literally closing my eyes. I just couldn't look, and I thought if I was a child, I would have had nightmares every night. But these people were proud of the idols that the people worshipped. But you know, we say, well, that's something awful. But you know, the sin that we do, the wrong that we do, that we are contaminated with as clay, that sin is as grotesque in God's eyes as those images of the idols that we see. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Now, if Angie put all the clay on the tables, and if the clay was on the table now, the physical clay, could the clay change itself? Does the clay have the power to change itself? We had to take the clay, each one individually, and we had to pound it and form it so that it could form into something. Just in the same way, we do not have the power to change ourselves into what God wants. We have not got the power. We have not got the ability. We need the heavenly potter to take us into his hands. Only he can change us. So the first and greatest need for each individual, for you and I, is to allow the potter to take us up into his own hands. To say yes to the potter. I am willing, take me up, cleanse me. You might dispute your needs. Say, I'm born in a Christian home. I'm better than others. I don't need to be in his hands. Now, recently we met a lovely family, Keith and I. And I spoke to them and I said to them, I think Keith asked them, he said, are you Christians? And they said, we've always been Christians. You know, we've grown up in a Christian and we've always been Christians. So I thought, well, that's strange. And then I started questioning them. And then I found it, but it isn't so. They haven't always been Christians. When I started listening to them, they said, no, there was a time when things went wrong in their life and they realized that they were proud, they were arrogant, they looked down on others, and they said they repented and they asked God to forgive them and to cleanse them. And then he said their whole life changed inside out. So I thought to myself, you haven't always been Christians. That is the point where you allow the potter to take you up into your hands and to change you. There has to be a point. While the clay lies on the table, it will never be an owl or a rose bowl or whatever you made out of it. It will remain what it is, a lump of clay. But the moment the potter takes it into his own hands, he makes us into what he always wanted us to be. The conviction of the Holy Spirit, I have to realize I am a lump of clay that is full of mire and dirt. I cannot cleanse myself to be acceptable to God. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's what God wants to do for us with his precious blood. I need to acknowledge to God, I am dirty. I need thy cleansing. I need thee to make me over anew. Now, Israel... I don't know what I was going to say there. Anyway, the clay is a picture, or it's a picture of Israel. It's also a picture of us. And the clay was worked on the wheel, and it was turned. And then every time a finger gets put on the clay, then there a uniform little indentation comes, and it's prodded and touched and pressed on the wheel. And I think of the wheel as the wheel of life. We are all on the wheel of life. And the potter needs to do those little indentations and to shape us after he has cleansed us, to make us what he wants us. But now I want to just read to you what Jeremiah said. The word that which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. It was marred. So he made it another vessel, as seemed good for the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Says the Lord, behold, as clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hands. Cannot I do with you as with this potter? God says to them, acknowledge that you are sinful and unworthy and need cleansing. Respond to my tender prayer. Rebellious and shocking. It was so rebellious and shocking. Their answer to God. God said, let me take you up. What did they answer? And they said, there is no hope. But we will walk after our own devices. And we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. You see, the potter held out his hand. But what did they say? No, we will not let you take us up. And you know, that is the fearful thing. Each one of us has a choice. God speaks continually to each one of us. And we say yes or no. God can take any of us at any time of our life. When he takes us, the chance to say yes to the potter is gone forever. It's gone forever. If we refuse to be taken up by the potter, then one day when we stand before God's judgment throne and he opens the book of life and he looks for our name and our name is not there and we suddenly get on our knees and we say, oh, take me up now, cleanse me and change me. Will we be able to be cleansed and changed then? No. It will be forever too late. Forever too late. So God gives us a chance now. And you know, one day when we stand before God, we're going to remember things like girls' camp. And we're going to remember that God called us at girls' camp to place ourselves in His hands. And oh, the horror when He says, "Depart from me. You don't belong to me. I do not know you." And we realize that we let the chance slip by. And we will be doomed to hell forever. So today, what are we saying? The first step for the clay is to be in the potter's hand, to yield to Him as He calls each one of us, to change us into something beautiful. We are powerless to change ourselves, but He is all powerful. He can change us if we say yes. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. He wants to cleanse us so that there's not a grain of dirt in us. No matter what you've done, you may say, "I am so dirty, I am so defiled. You don't know what I've done. Nobody knows what I've done. My parents don't know what I've done. Nobody knows the things I've got in." Nobody is too dirty. Nobody is too defiled for God to cleanse. I was talking to Naomi about the people in prison, and he said, was visiting people in Texas in a prison, and he said there was murderers. They on the death row. They actually, when he visited them, the laws might have changed now, but he said there they came with worn Bibles. They'd been saved having been reached in prison 2-3 years down the line. And he said when he saw their faces, they were so godly. They'd been murderers, but God had forgiven, He'd cleansed them, and He'd made them beautiful. And that's what God wants to do for us. Nobody is beyond His power. He longs to take each one of us into His hands to make us totally over, inside out. But we need to say yes. We cannot change ourselves. We're like a lump on the table. We haven't got the power, but He has the power. And it's He that cries out to us, "Come, let me take you up. Come," says the voice of the potter, "weak and defiled though you be, I can restore and remake you, rid you from dross and debris. Come," says the voice of the potter, "let me take you in my hand. The choice is yours. Will you let me do for you that which I've planned? Yes or no?" What a decision. Heaven or hell rests thereon. Do not be flippant about it. Judgment awaits when life's done. "Come," says the voice of the potter, "weak and defiled though you be, I can restore and remake you, rid you from dross and debris." Amen.